You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I wanted to call it "Where Are You Really From?" But then I realized that someone else took the fucking title.
It's already gone?
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, fuck. So my other option was Fat Femme and Asian, which is like
literally like that's why I'm the first guest.
This is East Side Story, and I'm your host, Chiang Ng. Each week I sit down with an Asian or Asian American artist working in the New York theater scene, and I excavate their life story. How they grew up, how they got their start in theater, as well as projects they've worked on and upcoming work that we should anticipate. This week's guest is David Park, an actor-musician that has been seen on film, television, and the stage. He made his off-Broadway debut in Red Roses, Green Gold at the Minetta Lane Theater and is a proud alumnus of Pace University. I met David during his off-Broadway run, and I instantly fell in love with his charisma and talent. He has sung in multiple projects of mine, including my composer debut at Joe's Pub. I hope that after this podcast, you will also fall in love with this unique Korean-American man.
So anyway, what's your name? Tell us more about yourself.
Did you get my bio?
Yes, I did. The LOL.
Did I say LOL in it? That's hilarious. Unprofessional. I'm David Park from Los Angeles. Live here now, pursuing the dream, as they say.
Where is here?
Here in New York City. They don't know that? We're in beautiful NYU, the facilities here.
Free. For life.
Just graduated.
Yes, you know, work. And so you grew up in Los Angeles, and then when did you move to New York City?
I moved to New York in the summer of, fall of 2019? So like 2013.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, you moved in the summer of 2013?
Well, because I moved here to go to school in the fall. So like the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, like August.
I moved here in the summer of 2013.
Oh my gosh. Wait, really?
Yeah. After I graduated from college, so I'm older. Well, but you knew I was older.
But I also went to school late. Like I'm turning 28 in September.
Well, that's not old. You're still young. You're still in your 20s.
I'm pretty old, dude. Wait, yeah, I think I'm 28. I don't remember what...
You I was think born you're 28.
I was born 91, so 2019. Yeah,
you're 28.
Math. Quick maths.
Hashtag Asian. Before we delve into all that, why don't you talk a little bit about your experience growing up? You said you grew up in L.A.
Grew up in L.A.
In the city?
So I grew... Okay. Good question. My like childhood, I don't know, it's split, kind of. So from... ages like born to 10, I lived in an area called...
Ages born to 10. Yeah. That's like, great.
I lived in an area called Hancock Park, which if anyone knows LA, it's now right across from where the Grove is now. But the Grove wasn't there when I was growing up. And it was like this really cute like apartment complex area that is now like super expensive and like bougie. And
so you grew up bougie or...
I grew up poor and I'm still poor. But it's like La Brea, Tar Pits is the area, kind of. And then it's really close to Koreatown, which is a really big area in Los Angeles. And then I moved to Burbank when I was 10. And that's kind of where I lived until I moved here. So half in the city and then half like in the suburb outside of the main city.
And how many siblings do you have?
I have two siblings. I have a younger brother, Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah.
But I have not our Daniel.
Not our Daniel. I mean, he's still my Daniel, but not our Daniel. It's funny because people call me Daniel all the time. People that don't even know that I have a brother named Daniel. It's just like this, I don't know, it's this thing. And Koreans love to name their sons after like biblical characters. Koreans love Jesus.
That's a stereotype, isn't it? Or like...
It's true in my world. All the Koreans I know like either grew up in church or still go to church or like don't anymore. But
did you go to church?
I did grow up in church.
Okay.
I did. So David and Daniel, which is like... the most stereotype, like David Park, there were literally three David Parks in my high school while I was there. Like, let's get a little more original. Call me like
Mbaku. DP. Ooh.
Not DP.
Mm, okay.
Well, gay.
Sorry, so I cut you off. And so you have a brother, just one brother, younger brother?
No, and a younger sister who just graduated from UCLA.
Yeah.
And she's actually about to move to Korea.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to move there. Not for any... like specific reason. It's not like she has like this career opportunity lined up. She just she grew up in LA, went to school in LA, and I think because she's not really sorry, Michelle, if I'm putting you on blast. to me, it just seems like it's an opportunity for her to expand her horizons and, you know, maybe a little soul searching, and just it's somewhere she's always wanted to live. And I'm actually really jealous of that because.
Do you want to do that too?
Yes, I haven't been to Korea in like 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's been, last time I went, I was like 11 or 12. And wait, have you seen The Farewell?
No, it just opened yesterday. Also, I don't know when this is going to come out, so whoops.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not going to come out in the past, so The Farewell is still going to be a thing.
Great.
So, but also, if you're a real fan, you would have seen it on opening day, but no big deal. The weekend numbers matter, so everyone go see The Farewell. It's not going to come out today. This is not radio. Great. But it's amazing, and A24 is putting out some great films, cast me in a movie. But what I love the most about it is, and I don't know if this is necessarily an accurate statement, but it just feels like maybe the most important movie that I've seen for like Asian/Asian-American representation to like Western cultures and peoples, because, I mean, it just talks a lot about like... the culture and like the importance of family and do you know the plot?
I don't, all I remember well, I saw the trailer and I remember like I think the grandma's dying and they don't want to tell her.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's literally my life. My grandma passed like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and an aunt of mine had like a small like cancer scare and she didn't tell us until after, and she was like, by the way, this happened and we're good.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, so that had happened in my life and I was like, oh, that must be like a Korean thing, but I think it's like an Asian thing in general, and there's like this pivotal scene where it's, you know...
Spoiler alert.
Okay, it's not a big twist. It's just, it's a cultural lesson. But Billy, who's played by Awkwafina, is kind of the, like, the avatar for kind of...
the Western society.
Yes, and me as an Asian American, like, I recognize the themes, but I consider myself an American. And, like, while I appreciate and recognize themes of like Asian culture, like I'm much more familiar with American culture. So even though I knew this was the thing because I had experienced it in my own life, I was still like, okay, like where are they going with this? And like, how are they going to use this as a teaching moment? And like, how are they going to tie this together? And her uncle is telling her about like, we're not telling her because it's like, it's our job to carry that burden for her. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do by telling her? Like, the doctors say this is incurable. It's terminal. So there's nothing that can be done for her. So why not just let her live her life blissfully unaware and like happy? And we will carry this sad burden for her. And like, that is such an amazing sentiment. And he's like, yeah, he's like chastising her. He's like, it's not my fault that you're too weak and like you're going to feel guilty about quote unquote lying to her. Like it's your duty to be strong for her. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt so moved by that because it had happened in my life and I was very confused when my mom told me what my aunt had done. But I just feel like, okay, so you know that scene in Mulan, which the trailer for that looks amazing as
oh,
well.
Oh my God, with a bunch of problems, but we're not going to go into
oh,
that
okay.
right now.
You're right. You would know more than me. But the scene where they're after he's gotten his conscription to go back to the army, and they're eating their little dumplings, which always looks so good. Like, the way they draw the food, it's amazing. You know, when she, like, pours the tea into the cup? Oh, my God. Like, I could talk about that forever. But they're sitting there, and, like, she's talking. She's like, you shouldn't have to go fight. Like, you already fought. And he's like, he's like, it's bigger than that. Right. This is for China. It's not about the Fa family. It's bigger. And, like, in a weird way, I was like, oh, the farewell is, like, that family dynamic, if she had never run away and, like, they had just, like, explored that and, like, really gone through, like, she has a very, like, I mean, she's fighting for her father, but it's also, like, from Western mentality. It's like, no, like, don't fight. Like, you already fought. You're injured. You're probably going to die. He's like,
right. Individualism.
Right. And he's like, listen, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to die for my country.
Right.
So
that's also kind of crazy because, like, as I consider myself pretty young still, and I also have the mentality. I grew up in Singapore, but I'm like, fight for your country. I am not going to die for my country.
Right.
That kind of like individualistic Western notion of like, me, me, me. And then you realize like Asian culture is a lot about we. It's a lot about family. Mm-hmm. It's about how you navigate your truth, but also like within the community.
Right, right. And it's the movie's so good because, farewell, because like you see the adults that are more traditionally Chinese, like you see them, like they're not just robots that are like honor, like family. Like the uncle, he goes through it and you see him have a sweet, tender moment too. Like it's not that he's not struggling with it. He's just operating in a system that kind of doesn't allow him to explore that publicly because he has bigger duties. It's very powerful. I can't wait for people to see it. I think it's going
to
be really amazing.
I have to go see it. I ended up having to go see Spider-Man because my friends really wanted to.
Listen, that's a great movie too. But all of that to say, it really makes me want to go to Korea.
Okay.
And like, I mean, I've wanted to do that for years and years, but...
To live there? Like, for a year or two or
I don't
more.
Know if I could live there. Like it.
But you've never tried it.
That's true. Know. But I think, I mean, what probably a lot of people don't understand about Asians that are born in America that have a loose like connection to the motherland, but like I would not fit in Korea. Like I would very much be a foreigner
Talk
there.
Talk more about that.
I mean, Korean culture is so different than American culture. Like my grasp of the language is not fluent. There's like the vernacular that I have, like someone saying lit and like, you know, knowing like slang vernacular like that. Like I know nothing of that in Korea. And Something as simple as that to kind of like demonstrate that there's just a whole world that I'm not a part of there. But also like culturally, I feel a tie to, you know, like those roots and I would want to explore that. It's like the dichotomy of my life as a Korean American man.
Did you grow up speaking Korean in your family? Did your parents? I remember we kind of talked a little bit about this before, where like your parents sent you to Korean like language school, and then you were like, "I don't want to do this."
Oh yeah, like I thought it was the worst thing ever because it was Saturday morning, and all my friends at school were like not, you know, they were playing video games, and my ass had to wake up at 8 and go to Hangarakyo. Like all my Koreans out there know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of like second generation kids of any country know, but. Yeah, I mean, I would take my Game Boy and just train my Charizard. Let's go.
And your parents are first-generation immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And when did they move here? Did they meet here or did they meet in Korea?
So they technically met here. My dad has this huge, complicated story. He never met his birth father because my grandfather passed away while my grandmother was pregnant with my dad. He's the youngest of four. He has three older sisters. And during the Vietnam War, my uncle Harvey, who was an American GI, was stationed in Korea as a communications officer, and he met my aunt and fell in love, and he married her, and then he emigrated them back to the States, but originally it was just her and my grandma, but he brought my dad with him when my dad was like a teenager, but because of kind of logistical issues, he actually adopted my dad.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh, because of like visa and like family and like siblings. Mm-hmm.
And my Uncle Harvey had to be honorably discharged because he was marrying an Asian woman during the Vietnam War. Like it was this whole thing.
Holy fuck.
So my dad half grew up in Korea and half in America. So he was fluent in English. Mm. So I think that kind of contributes to me not being as strong in Korean that I might have been if, like, maybe his English had been weaker. Like, I would have been forced to use a lot more
Korean
at home.
Yeah.
Like, I speak Korean exclusively with my mom, but she's, like, kind of the only person that I feel comfortable using my Korean with because I'm so self-conscious of it.
Right, right.
So, like, I know she'll understand what I'm saying, but it's, like, it's truly, like, a second-grade vocabulary.
It is so interesting. I mean, I'm a first-generation immigrant. Right. And it's like, I never even realized until very, very recently that I communicate with my parents purely in Chinese. Hmm. Like, we don't speak. The only time we speak English is when we text.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like,
right, you told me that
what?
Once.
and it's just, it's subconscious because I cannot imagine being a second generation American, having grown up in America, but like trying to think about your ties and what your relationship with your home country is, because I grew up completely
right.
in my home country, and then that's a whole different experience.
For sure.
But, so...
Yeah, I mean, I get this, like, pang of... It's a very complicated emotion that I don't know how to describe, but the flavors are, like, guilt and sadness and regret of when I'm speaking to my mom and, like, I want to tell her things I'm feeling and going through, but I literally don't have the vocabulary to express the depth of my emotion to her because I just don't know how. Mm-hmm. And even if I try to say it in English, like, she doesn't know how to receive that.
Oh, did she not speak
I mean,
she
spoke a little English earlier, but, like, she's used it less and less growing up. So it's really just, like her English vocabulary is, like, a little, like, I would say a little weaker than my Korean, but it's not by much. Mm. So it's, like, my mom and I have a deep emotion. Like, I know she understands me. And whenever I go to her with issues and, like, I'm feeling things, like, she'll just give me advice without me having explaining what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. That just always hits home. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's also, like, there are times that I can't even speak to my mom in a way. You know what I mean?
That is so fascinating to be, like, you grew up together. I mean, she raised you.
Yeah.
But there's this barrier of communication
mm-hmm.
where, like, you have a vast understanding of English and a small understanding of Korean, and your mom has a vast understanding of Korean and a small understanding of English, and then how do you communicate?
Right, like the person that knows me the most, I can't talk to.
Right.
About the things I want to talk to about the most. And I'm trying to learn better Korean, but, you know, they say it's harder to learn a language as you get older. And
of course.
Like, I mean, I'm familiar with it, but to be fluent in another language is like a whole other thing. Like the nuance that you, I don't know, but it's wild.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And I grew up, I remember having an epiphany like years back of realizing that growing up, I had subconsciously resented my mother or, like, judged my mother for not being able to speak English and being like, oh, like, or I think I realized that on some level, I've been like, is my mom dumb? Like, is,
wow.
You know what I mean? Just because, like, as a kid, I was like, I'm American. I'm growing up in America. I speak English. Like, that's the standard I have. And my mom's like, well, I realized that she grew up in Korea. Like, she's fluent in, like, she's this whole other person that I don't even know because I can't access it.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm just having all the feels because I'm like, I just can't imagine being in your position because, oh my God. But also, like, latching on to, like, literally what you just said, you grew up and you thought, hey, I'm American. At what age or, like, at what when did you realize that being American had all these like subsidiaries?
Right, that like that I was a flavored American because I'm not white.
When yellow flavor. When did you realize that? Yellow flavor.
I don't know if I have like one moment that like is the one that in my pensive like you go to and it's like, oh my God, this is the memory. But there just have been moments in my life where I was made to be very aware that I wasn't the white kid.
Like throughout the time you're growing up or?
Yeah, I'd say there was like a thing at like in junior high, a thing in high school. And then like now that I'm an actor in New York and like pursuing a career in acting, it's not like people are like, oh, you fucking chink. Like it's not aggressive. It's just like understanding how the world operates and how the world consciously and subconsciously views me. Like what, so in junior high, I remember like there were these group of girls that were, we call them FOBs, fresh off the boat.
Lol.
All the Asians know what that is.
Yes.
It's funny because the word for plane in Korean is piengi, so it's the same B sound. So Koreans say fresh off the piengi. That's a little inside joke. But they were like super into K-pop and stuff. And I remember like having this reaction, like looking back, I'm like, wow. But being like, oh my gosh, like stop being such a fob. Like, can you just be normal?
Oh, wow.
I said that to a Korean person. And like, now that I'm older and have the blessing of hindsight, I'm like, wow, like you really were so hurt, not because of something that explicitly happened to you, but just because the environment you were in, you were told that like, you're abnormal, like get in line.
Right. The idea of normality. And that's also kind of crazy because that goes towards not just race, gender, identity, sexual orientation. It's everything. Everything seems to be geared towards a cis, white, male-centric world. But the good thing is like everyone is talking about it right now.
Right.
And the more we are aware of it, the more we can subvert it, the more we can open up discussions to have a better, more inclusive society for people who are just not the same as you.
100%. And like, that's the beauty of Twitter. And like, everyone has a voice. And like, sometimes that can get a little crazy and out of hand on both sides, I would
Absolutely.
Say. Because it always comes from a place of self-preservation. It's like, I have to say my voice and I have to protect my own because no one is standing up for me. And like, I totally get that. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. Like, we're making up the rules as we go in an attempt to just fully embrace everyone. So, it's uncharted territory.
Yeah.
We just got to leave with love, you know?
Oh, my God. Let's talk a little bit about your experience here in New York City. So you came here for school. You went to Pace University for musical theater.
Go Pace.
And how was that experience?
It was a really great experience for me. When I decided to pursue theater, I had done a production of Hairspray at the community college I was attending back home.
Yes, Asian Hairspray.
I was Link, baby.
Oh!
And I was like 210 pounds. It was
I love it. I love
Yo,
it.
Yo, I was like Elvis past his prime. The lights went off. Motion sensor. Here.
Pause. And we're back.
Yeah, we're going to keep that in.
Okay, we'll see.
So yes,
you were saying Link.
Hairspray.
Hairspray, Link, 210 pounds.
We got pictures at David Hyunsu Park. But... It's one of the only moments in my life where, like, lightning at a bottle, I was like, oh, my God, like, this is what I'm meant to do. so dramatic. But, I wanted to move to New York because I had a dream and still have the dream to be on Broadway. But I wanted to go to school because I'm like, I'm not going to do this without nothing. Like, I need experience. I just felt so behind because I was hyper aware growing up with kids in Burbank, California, which is like where all the baby actors are in SoCal, that like kids had grown up doing this. So I looked into Pace and I really liked the vibe. It was just like up and coming and like RSO was on staff there. And he's like someone that I knew in my limited knowledge of like the musical theater world. And funny, like that's the only school I applied an audition for. And I was like,
wow,
I was
bitch.
Like, yeah, I was like, I'm gonna leave it up to, you know, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. I was like, this random production had felt like fate to me. So I was like, I think fate can do it one more time. I just needed that push.
Sometimes you just never realize. Well, I think when you have faith, sometimes it works out and sometimes it's not. And sometimes If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and it's okay.
Yeah, but see, Chiang, I think in that sense, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, like, that means faith is always working,
right,
whether it works out or it doesn't.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, for me, I think my life has shown me time and time again that, like, things work out and when they're meant to work out for me.
Right, absolutely.
Because of, like, when I'm ready for it, when I'm not ready for it, et cetera. So, but yeah, Pace was great because I was hoping for one experience, two training, and I think I got plenty of both there.
So you went to school in 2013 and you graduated in 2017.
Yes.
Right? And what have you been up to since? The first time I saw you was in Red Roses, Green Gold.
Red Roses, Green Gold.
At Off-Broadway.
Shout outs.
And that is with one of my very, very close friends, Debbie Christine Jong.
Love her.
She's killing it right now. And
living the best life.
Honestly. And I'm like, why are you not on MasterChef? Shout out to Debbie.
Okay, wait. quick tangent. She cooked me a literal beef Wellington, Gordon Ramsay's recipe, and it tasted freaking like she's...
I know.
What can't she do?
Honestly.
Plays every instrument, sickest voice, like nicest person, great chef.
I need her on this podcast because I need to talk. Like, I've known her for, 14 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How small of a world? Like, insane.
Insane. That's like before I came here.
Also, good job, Singapore, because y'all pumping out some real talent. I gotta say, real talent.
Represent.
Isn't What's-Her-Face from Singapore? Julia Bueva?
Or yeah, she's also from Singapore.
Listen, Singapore. Crazy Rich Asians, let's freaking go.
But, okay, so let's talk a little bit about when you first graduated. Was that the first audition you went on again?
I that's how I remember it. It was like, if not the first, like one of the first, I got through CGF.
This girl is insane. You.
Debbie.
You.
Debbie, that girl.
You.
I'm not. Listen.
It's like first job out of school off Broadway. So, Red Roses, Green Gold.
Which was a huge blessing. And, like, I'm so grateful for that experience because I learned a lot, just a lot. Like, I can't even begin to describe all the lessons I learned from that production.
You were so charismatic on stage. You played the guitar. You sang.
Oh, thank you.
You danced your face off.
Okay, but here's the real lesson of that experience. That we closed February of whatever year it was.
2018?
And I didn't book another theater job until a full-ass year.
Earlier this year.
Yeah. So in hindsight, a year feels like nothing, but I remember during it, I was like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
And like already, like I closed Grease at Pioneer 3 weeks ago and I'm already in that like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like as an actor, we are so hungry to be present in the moment of like being booked and blessed, which like is not a bad thing to revel in. But it's just so crazy how like short-term memory I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for that year where I didn't get any jobs because it just taught me a lot about patience and understanding that it's truly, you know, they say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, got it. Like there'll be a couple months where I won't work, whatever. No, a year.
And also a year is not a long time.
It really isn't.
There are actors who have not, well, I've not worked in a long, long time.
You're killing it in other ways. Eastbound, come on.
But I'm like, you know, it's a whole thing. I have a lot of friends who have not been working for like almost 3 or 4 years since graduation. And that's just kind of like where the business is at right now.
Yeah.
And I think everybody has their own trajectory and there's no like, I mean, there are people who succeed right away. And then when you start comparing yourself to that, it's like, why am I not doing that? It's like, you don't really have an answer to that.
Right. But also with Instagram, where everyone is posting their successes, which like, that's no tea, no shade. Like you should post your success.
Absolutely.
You should be proud. But like, also with how small this community is, it's like, I have friends that are constantly succeeding and I'm not unhappy about that at all.
Yeah.
But there's that voice in the back of your head that's always like collecting that, being like, why aren't you, like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, absolutely. And bringing it back to like being Asian as well, it's like the idea of like success to an Asian family is it looks a certain way because that's how we grew up. I hope this changes in the next generation. But success definitely looks a certain way. Every time I go home, my aunt is like, so when are you buying this car? When are you buying this home? When are you going to support your parents in this way?
Right.
And it's not that that is a bad sentiment to have, and I understand what that is, but going off of like, no, that's success is defined by yourself. Like, you define success.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely. And like, I think as So what I'm grateful for my parents for is success to them is defined by me pursuing what makes me happy.
Oh, wonderful.
And what will make me feel like I'm living a life that I want to lead. But they, you know, like they don't want me to be starving and poor. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like when Asian parents, like tiger moms and tiger dads do that stuff, like it's from a genuine place of like, I don't want you to struggle like I did, or like I want you to succeed. And it's up to kids and parents alike that are still, you know, struggling with that to like make sure that they know where that's coming from.
Right.
And that's just like humanity in general. It's like, right. What? Why are you saying the things you're saying? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Like, where does it come from?
Don't you think it's like such a privilege to be doing what we do?
100%.
Like, there are people who have to worry about what they have to eat tomorrow, and like we're here talking about our lives in the theater.
100%.
And sometimes, I mean, this is something that is kind of like weighing on me. It's like, where do I stand in the global scale right now? Like, so much shit is going on. So many bad things are happening. How can I play my part? How can we play our part in making the world a better place? Is it changing people one step at a time? Is it, like, what is it? And then you really have to, like, self-reflect, right? You have to think about the things that really, really matter to you and the things that... Sometimes we get so harped on the littlest things that we get mad on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel that? It's like, why am I angry over this, like... insignificant thing, like
right.
I can't name an example off the top of my head right now, but like,
are you talking about like political stuff or just like in your own life? Like,
just in my own life, just I mean, also political stuff, but yeah. Political stuff is a whole other
right. But that's why you have to go out and vote.
Oh, absolutely, and I can't vote
right.
Here.
Right. No, I know that, but I think in a sense, it's like there's only so much you can do. Like you can fucking share all the videos on Twitter that you want, like, that's not doing anything. That's just, like, your followers, I guarantee that they think the same thing you do. Like, yeah. And, like, your tweet's not going viral. Like, what are you doing to make this world a better place? And, like, me as an actor and as just a person, like, I can vote. And then I can have meaningful conversations out of love with people because yelling at someone, when has that ever made someone change their mind?
Literally on that point, a lot of people, and this was something we talked about earlier as well, right? Like a lot of people engage other people by confrontation versus conversation.
Right.
And I'm a personal believer that no confrontation is going to yield positive results in the way that conversation can.
Absolutely.
Especially in politics, I think. I mean, one thing that I recently started doing is like started to listen to right-wing podcasts
because
I really wanted to understand
Where they're coming from.
Yeah, where the thoughts lie. And I'm liberal, but I'm also like, I feel like I'm very centrist. I get it. I get both.
I completely agree.
Like, I have
That's
very
the
liberal
Asian-ness
things.
In us.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's the dichotomy of like.
We're literally Switzerland, like neutral as fuck. But it's, you know what? And I don't mean to cut you off, but it's funny because I have family that like lives in Texas. Koreans tend to be very conservative. Mm-hmm. So I grew up and I decided for myself what I believed and what I think, and that's changing every day, you know, based on my experience and what I'm seeing and learning and reading. But I have family members who are very conservative, and I know that they're not crazy, racist, bigoted, like assholes.
Right.
I know that they believe that for a specific reason, and maybe they're ignorant to certain things that I am aware of that makes me think differently from them. But I think what happens when all the discourse happens over Twitter is you don't get to know that about the person. You just see the all bold cap text of like, blah, 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 you know,
yeah.
I don't even know. But then that dehumanizes people. And that's like, okay, well, that's that person. I'm this person. Right. Enemies.
Right.
But it's like everyone that gets mad is because they're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they say? Like hate and love are closest, you know, whatever. Like yin and yang, like that is true. Everything has another side to it that's directly connected. So why are you doing the things you're doing? Why do you say the things that you say? Like, I think that's imperative for people to understand that about each other, or like, this is never going to change.
Right.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What do you think, living in New York, what have you learned in terms of, like, your life experience living in New York as an Asian American person, Korean American person, and acting in the musical theater world? What do you think you have learned that other people can stand to hear from? Like, you're like, if I could tell you one thing, this is what I would love to tell you.
Okay. I think what I'm going through right now is I have been, you know, so many people say, like, these things are wrong with this industry, like XYZ. And it's not that I don't see it. It's not that I even necessarily disagree. But I think for me, after hearing that so much, I was like, well, yeah, it's everywhere. Like, it's, I got indignant and upset, and I started bringing that into the audition rooms. And, like, being mad about something, being stressed about something, that has never made me better for it. It only makes me more confused. It makes me hurt and sad and self-conscious. And I started realizing, this is actually a recent thing for me, of being like, am I projecting all this? Like, are they really, like, sitting there with their arms crossed being like, well, impress me, kid. Like, we have this white guy that we want to cast, but, like, maybe if you change my mind, like, I'll cast you instead. Like, that could happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that that's happening in every room I'm going to. You know what I mean?
I totally understand where you're coming from as well, because it's, like, it's so easy to project. It's so easy to project your insecurities onto
exactly
what is happening.
And that's what I realized I was doing, is, like, you know, I'm a very self-conscious person, as
I think all of us are.
Right. I don't mean to put myself on a pedestal like that, but I just realized that, like, I wasn't doing myself any favors by, like, again, it's and this is not me dismissing any of that. It's being like, I understand that that's happening, but I just need to find a better way of, like, logging that information in and, like, understanding that that's a goal of mine to help contribute to, like, changing. But also, it's like, I also have to live my own life and not let that, like, cripple me in every room I walk in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think people want me to succeed, and, like, I want to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are doing really, really wonderful.
Thanks,
like,
man.
Think about, you just played Kaniki in Greece.
It was so fun.
And you're Asian. So it's like, how many Greece productions have Asian people in it?
Yeah. Especially a role like Kaniki, who is, like, the maybe, you know, borderline toxic masculinity presence in the show. But it's like, a lot of Asian men don't get to portray someone, like, hyper masculine. They're kind of like the nerds or the sidekicks. And it's so funny because he, you know, in the show, he has Grease Lightning, which is, like, the super Elvis-y song.
Yeah.
And my dad in college was called Korean Elvis. And he was in this, like tech, engineering frat or something. And his fraternity brothers would take him to sorority row and, like, have him croon the sorority girls out onto the balcony. So it really fell full circle for me.
Did your dad get to see the production?
He did. He loved it.
Hmm.
They loved it.
That's great. That's great. If you could give yourself one advice to your younger self, what would you say to little David Park?
Oh, man. I'm going to cry. There's a lot, but a lot of my issues today, my confidence issues, my self-worth issues come from, like, image issues.
Mm.
I grew up really chubby, and I grew up, like, I have really chinky eyes. All these things, like, that compared to people that I saw were getting all the attention, I was like, oh, well, you're not that, so you're worthless. And, like, it's years and years and, like, current battles of just, like, undoing that trauma. And so I would tell little David that it's like, you are enough. And that's so cliche, but it's just so true. And I don't doubt that many people need to hear that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you are enough.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You're smiling.
You're one of the most wonderful people I've known, because truly, your work ethic is great, and you have a great voice, and you always bring this energy into the room that's like completely fresh and you. So it's like, whenever we get to work together, I'm like, yeah, David's my guy.
So in Greece, I was really close with our Sandy, Emma Hearn, who's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you ever need a white girl, she's your girl. But we were talking one night. It's like, I get to connive so much in rehearsals just because and this is like one of the few compliments I will give myself. It's like, I just know how to pick the spots, man. Like, like the moments where like I can do or say something really stupid and like it won't detract, but it'll like kind of refresh the room. So thank you.
Yeah.
I that is a compliment that like there's a million compliments that I will not accept at my heart because I'm too self-deprecating too, honestly. But that's one that I'll be like, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. A few other questions before we wrap this up. What will you want to do in order for you to say, I've made it?
That is a loaded question.
It is. It absolutely is.
And honestly, I think a part of me hasn't fully accepted what I deem as success yet.
Mm.
When I had my first meeting with my agents, they're like, what career do you see that you can model yours after? And I was like, honestly, none, because there isn't enough diversity of Asian male actors that I've seen where I'm like, oh yeah, like I really see myself in that. Like I see a little John Cho in me, I see a little Randall Park, I see a little Daniel Day Kim, but like those are three men, and I'm no, I'm missing some, but like three men out of so many like white and other raced men that have such vast careers.
Yeah, just think about the Chris's.
Different types, you know? Yeah, I mean literally just the Chris's, and like, yeah, so. But I was like, you know what? I want to say that I won an EGOT. And like, that's not me saying that I'm going to win one. I mean, that'd be great. But I said that because it would mean that I had a diverse career because I have so many interests. Mm. And I just want to like work with people and like do things, you know? So that's like the success-oriented side. But honestly, like, if I can make money being an actor and support a family and like have a wife and kids, that's a great life, man. And yeah. Like, I don't know if I need much more than that.
Yeah. And I think just elaborating on that, for me, at least what I'm picking up on is the idea of joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you love what you're doing and you are succeeding at what you're doing, but, you know, making a living and doing what you love.
Hey, man, it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the truest thing ever.
Absolutely.
Also in The Farewell. Go see The Farewell.
This podcast is literally sponsored
by The Farewell. Awkwafina.
Sponsor us, Awkwafina.
You can Venmo me at David Parkey. That's with a Y.
Before we go, do you have any questions for me?
Any questions for you?
Yeah. Anything that you would like to know? Anything you would like to say? Anything you would like to find out?
Yeah.
Any
so
deep, dark secrets?
When are you writing this Crazy Rich Asians musical?
Oh my God. Crazy Rich Asians, sponsor us.
Literally. Can I have a part in it? I will be janitor number 3 in that production. I don't care.
I already actually talked to my agent about this, and he was like, you are not going to write this show. He didn't say that. He was just like, well, the studios are going to take a long time before this happens.
Yeah, she said, bitch, bet. I will write the show.
I was like, how many Singaporean writers do you know?
Literally.
Musical theater writers.
Yeah. There's, if
2.
Like, no, I'm not going to name any names, but if certain individuals that are obviously a higher profile, if a white man writes this musical, I'll be pissed. if it's not Chiyoung, then someone. Like, make him black, yellow, brown, something.
Anything.
Anything. I cannot have a white man write that musical.
But then I should write the musical.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we're making this happen. You heard it here first.
At John M. Chu. I've added so many people. This is a PSA. I'm putting y'all on blast.
Did you like that episode of East Side Story? If you did, follow us on Instagram at East Side Story Pod and at Chiyoung Music. Go on to Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us, and don't forget to subscribe. Or if you're a Spotify user, you can also click the follow button. Even better, you can tell someone about the podcast. And the best part, they don't even have to be Asian. Thank you so much for your support, and I'll see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.